Hello everyone, welcome to JTalk Extra Time, the second half. I'm John Steele. Stuart Smith, the regular co-host, not with me for this episode. Scheduling conflicts made it difficult for us to get together to record two shows this week. So after recording the J2 roundup, we took a break. So to guide you through the results from last weekend in J3, it's just me. Apologies for that. And let's talk about the J3 Round 8 games that took place last weekend. We have to start at the top with Blaublitz Akita. They made 8 straight wins and put themselves 5 points clear at the top of the table by winning 1-0 away at YSCC. YSCC made them sweat in this game, though. Before I talk about the match, I actually went along to this game. It's the first J-League game I've been to in the stadium since the COVID-19 pandemic made everything more complicated. So just a quick note about the stadium experience. YSCC doesn't let you use an e-ticket or a QR code ticket to enter the stadium. So I had to buy paper tickets for this game. You had to show them to the staff at the entrance, but they wouldn't touch the tickets to separate the stub from the other half of the ticket. You had to do that yourself once they gave you the okay, which was a bit weird. And then, inside the stadium, as I think has been mentioned on Big Pod by several guests, you have to wear a mask. You're not allowed to chant or rhythmically clap. But apart from entering the stadium, one other thing is there was a QR code kind of posters plastered around the concourse at the stadium. You were supposed to take a picture of this and then enter your kind of contact information, like a contact tracing situation, so name and contact details and the seat that you were sitting in, which I thought was a good idea. It wasn't mandatory. I don't think anybody checked that you actually did it, but I did it anyway. So, yeah, a few changes to the match day experience, post COVID-19 to note, I think. On the pitch, though, yeah, for Akita, it was business as usual, even though, as I said, YSCC made them work hard for the win. In the first half, Yusuke Mikami, who was making his first start of the season out on the left wing for Akita, went close with a header. And Yutaro Yanagi sent a shot just past the post in a goalless first half for YSCC. In the second half, it was noticeable that Akita moved up a gear, stepped things up. And all in the space of the first 5 minutes of the second half, Ryota Nakamura hit the bar and Shoma Kamata fired wide. And Akita hit the front in the 53rd minute, a sublime free kick from Nao Eguchi. It's worth seeking out online if you haven't seen it. YSCC almost levelled in the 61st minute. A superb shot from the right back position from the very impressive rookie Yuma Funabashi hit the crossbar. With 10 minutes left, Akita won a penalty. Kei Munechika, the YSCC centre back, brought down the Akita sub Yohei Hayashi inside the box. But Hayashi, who'd only just come on the pitch seconds before, missed the penalty. And I have to be honest, one of the worst I've ever seen. There was a chance for Akita to kind of widen their lead, but they didn't take it. So, yeah, 8 straight wins for Akita, and that puts them 5 points clear at the top, as I said. And it's also enough to earn their goalkeeper, Yudai Tanaka, the Player of the Month award for the third tier. So, everything going well up in Akita. Now, Gainari Tottori are in second place on 19 points. They won 2-0 at home to Toyama last weekend with 2 very late goals. Tottori did have the ball in the net just before half-time, but it was ruled out for offside. And yeah, the hosts had to wait until the 86th minute for a goal, the substitute Daisuke Sakai netting his 5th of the season from close range after some pinball in the Toyama penalty area. Not actual pinball, figurative pinball. A superb long-range strike from Kazuya Ando, cutting in from the right outside the penalty area. His first goal in the J-League sealed it in the 92nd. He was firing in quite a few shots in the first half as well, so I don't think it'll be the last time we're talking about him. It was a really good goal in the 92nd minute that sealed the points for Tottori, so they're second on 19. Raso Kumamoto are in third place in the table after 8 games, but they're level on points, 19 points with Tottori. And they also won 2-0 at home in this round against Fukushima United. In the first half, Fukushima's goalkeeper Akira Fantini had to make a good save to keep out Shuhei Kamimura. And in the second half, Fantini did well again to block an effort from Toshiki Takahashi, and Kamimura shot wide from the edge of the box. Fukushima's big chance in this game came in the 65th minute on a very well-executed counter-attack, but Riku Hashimoto's shot was well saved by Kei Uchiyama in the Kumamoto goal. So it was goalkeepers on top until the 65th minute, here, but 5 minutes later, it was 1-0 to Kumamoto. It was a controversial goal in some respects. The former YSCC man, Hayato Asakawa, tapped in from pretty much on the goal line. Fukushima defenders were adamant he was offside. There were several replays shown on the highlights that I watched, but none of them were conclusive. There was a defender in the right-back position who may well have been playing Asakawa on the side, but I couldn't confirm that on the replays that I saw. Anyway, the goal stood, the goal was given, and moments later, Uchiyama saved well from the Fukushima captain, Ryosuke Tamura, at the other end. And the crucial second goal came 10 minutes from time. Shun Ito tried his luck from outside the box. It wasn't the greatest strike in the world, but unfortunately, it went straight through Fantini, who'd otherwise had a great game and goal for Fukushima, and it finished 2-0. Now, in fourth place and ticking over quite nicely, we have a Nagano Parseiro. They're on 15 points, so four behind Tottori and Kumamoto. Nagano, that is, won 1-0 at home to Gamba Osaka's under-23 side at the weekend. Gamba were very much on top in the opening quarter of this game, but a good chance fell to Yu Kimura for Nagano, who missed from close range on the half hour. And yes, the same player drew a good diving save from Jun Ichimori, making his first appearance of the season in goal for Gamba moments later. Shuhei Kawasaki went close for the visitors before the all-important goal came in the 76th minute. Nagano sub Tsubasa Sano heading home after Ichimori could only parry a low drive from, I think, Hiroki Bubokawa, but I'm not sure who was on target, who was striking that ball. Two goals in two games for Sano, so he's in some good form as well. Yeah, and a 1-0 win for Nagano in the end. Now in Shizuoka, Fujieda My FC beat Gifu, FC Gifu 3-1. That leaves Gifu in fifth place on 14 points, so not too bad. But, and Stuart's not here to give his verdict on this game, but it seemed like quite a chastening defeat for Gifu, this one. It was all Fujieda in the first half. Yasuhito Morishima, the fridge, had two headers off target, and Fujieda finally hit the front in the 38th minute with a slide rule finish from the edge of the box from Takumi Kiyomoto. Kiyomoto hit the bar with another fine effort before half-time as well. The end of the first half was played in really heavy rain in Fujieda, but the rain seemed to ease off in the second half. But unfortunately for Gifu, they let in two goals in about 60 seconds. In the 65th minute, Nobuyuki Kawashima converted after a Morishima knockdown. And seconds after that, Morishima scored himself, tapping in a low cross from Daisuke Inazumi, kind of finished off the game as a contest at 3-0. Shota Kawanishi did grab a consolation for Gifu when he knocked in a rebound in the 92nd minute. But yeah, Fujieda 3, Gifu 1 was the final score. Now, elsewhere in J3, in round 8, Numazu are up to 6th after an away win. They won 1-0 at the pretty hapless Sanuki. Sanuki now 2 points adrift at the bottom. No wins from their 8 games so far. Numazu thought they'd scored in the 32nd minute here. Yusuke Imamura put the ball in the net but was flagged offside. From the replays that I saw, and even live, this was like the wrong call. I think he was probably onside, so Numazu had reason to feel aggrieved. Here they did hit the front though in first half stoppage time, a brilliant first touch and finish from Kazuki Somer, which is another goal worth checking out online if you haven't seen it already. The second half was a bit of a non-event. Here there was one chance for Mark Ajay Kurita, Saniki striker, but he fired wide. So yeah, an away win for Numazu, 1-0 at Saniki. Imabari and Hachinohe drew 1-1. This game was goalless at the break in Imabari. But Imabari went in front 7 minutes into the second half. A corner kick hit the Hachinohe defender Masashi Kokubun at the far post and went into the net for an own goal. And shortly after that, Imabari's defenders did really well collectively to block a shot from the Hachinohe substitute Shu Maeda. The visitors did level though with 9 minutes left. Yosuke Kamigata hit the post and Taisuke Akiyoshi followed up to tap in. And Kamigata hit the top of the crossbar with a header seconds later, so Hachinohe had a chance to steal it. But the glorious chance to win it came right at the death for Imabari. Keishi Kusumi could have won it for Imabari, but blazed wildly over the bar when he should have at least hit the target. Sagamihara won 2-1 at home to Kagoshima. Sagamihara goalkeeper Victor had to make a good block in the 4th minute to keep the score level, and he was making headlines again. In the 8th minute, Kagoshima were awarded a penalty, but Victor saved that too. I think Kenji Baba took it, and Victor saved, so Stuart will be happy about that one, I think. Oh, for the penalty, it was Tatsuya Shirai, the Sagamihara defender, who fouled Rei Yonezawa in the box. Now, there was a penalty kick at the other end of the pitch in the 25th minute. The Sagamihara midfielder Shohei Kiyohara was fouled, and I'm trying to pronounce the inverted commas here, by Keisuke Tanabe. There was some very minimal contact, but I think for me it was definitely in the dive category. Certainly a very soft award of a penalty, but Romulo scored the penalty, and it was 1-0 to Sagamihara. Romulo then headed his and Sagamihara's second goal just before half time from an inch perfect Kota Hoshi cross. Now, in the second half, the half-time substitute Takumi Sonoda pulled one back for Kagoshima in the 54th minute, sweeping home a loose ball inside the penalty area, but that was it. The game was over. Now, Iwate made it 3 wins on the spin by beating Seretse Osaka's under-23 side 3-1 at home. Seretse Osaka actually went in front in this game in the 12th minute. A superb strike from outside the box from Tatsuya Tabira, the centre-back, and still wondering what he was doing so far forward so early on in the game. But yes, it was 1-0 to Seretse Osaka early on here. But Iwate turned this around before half-time. In the 34th minute, the Seretse goalkeeper, Arne Junsu, was able to block Kazuhito Kishida's shot, but Koji Hashimoto was on hand to score the rebound. And 6 minutes later, a thumping volley from Hiroki Kotani from the edge of the penalty area put Iwate 2-1 up, 2 goals in 2 games for him. And speaking of thumping strikes, the Brazilian midfielder Morelato scored an absolutely superb strike to make it 3-1 in the second half. I think that was my favourite goal of the weekend. I don't know if technically it was the best one, but yeah, again, worth checking out on YouTube. Absolutely thunderous strike to make it 3-1. Ryuji Sawakami saw a shot come back off the post for Seretse as they tried to get back into this game, but they couldn't, and it finished 3-1. So yeah, Iwate getting things together under Yutaka Akita. It seems three wins in a row for them. Okay, so hopefully that whistle-stop roundup of the J3 games from last weekend was helpful. Yeah, apologies about the late release of this podcast. The scheduling was against Stuart and I this week. Hopefully it won't be many times this season that we're kind of so up against it in terms of timing. But yeah, just to look ahead to the games that are coming up this weekend, round 9. On Saturday, the 8th of August, we have 2 J3 games. That's FC Gifu hosting Iwate. As I mentioned, Iwate on 3 straight wins, so it'll be interesting to see if they can make life awkward for Gifu at Nagaragawa there. Also on Saturday, Seretse Osaka's under-23s welcome YSCC to Yanmar Stadium at Nagai. Now, the remainder of the fixtures, the bulk of them are on Sunday. So we have Hachinohe hosting second-place Tottori, Fukushima hosting Sanuki, Imabari take on Fujieda, and the match of the weekend, possibly the season so far, it's Akita hosting Kumamoto, first place versus third place. Akita looking to make it 9 straight wins, obviously, but Kumamoto have been a tough nut to crack so far this year. It should be a really exciting game. Also on Sunday, Nagano host Kagoshima, and Gamba Osaka's under-23 side host Numazu. There is one game on Monday next week, August the 10th. It's not as strange as it sounds, because Monday is a public holiday in Japan, a bank holiday, so people will be off work. And yes, in that solitary Monday game, Toyama host Sagamihara. All right, so I think, I was able to cover most of the major talking points from the weekend's J3 games. Apologies again for the late release of the J3 roundup. For extra time this week. Hopefully Stuart and I will be able to go through all of the weekend games from J2 and J3 next week. Thanks again for downloading and listening. Stuart and I really appreciate it. And special thanks as well to the patrons who pay their hard-earned money to keep the lights on and keep the podcast going. It's much appreciated. Hope everybody enjoys the football over the weekend. And talk to you again soon. Okay, thanks. Bye for now.